ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 19 टेक्स्ट 1 एंड 2 चैप्टर टाइटल्ड King Yayati achieves liberation. Shri Shuka Vacha Sa Shri Shuka Vacha Saittam Acharan Kaman त्रैनोपानवमात्मना बुद्ध्वा प्रियाय निर्विन्नो घातमेतामगायत। ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। Sukadeva Goswami said, O Maharaj Parikshit, Yayati was very much attached to women. In due course of time, however, when disgusted with sexual enjoyment and its bad effects, he renounced this way of life and narrated the following story to his beloved wife. There is no purport to this verse, so we'll go to the next verse. That the translation goes like this. My dearly beloved wife, daughter of Shukracharya, in this world there was someone exactly like me. Please listen as I narrate the history of his life. By hearing about the life of such a householder, those who have retired from householder life always lament. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Persons who live in the village or town are called Grama Nivasi, and those who live in the forest are called Vanavasi or Vanaprastha. The Vanaprasthas who have retired from family life generally lament about their past family life because it engaged them in trying to fulfill lusty desires. Prahlad Maharaj said that one should retire from family life as soon as possible, and then he described family life as the darkest well. Hitatva patham graham andakupam. If one continuously or permanently concentrates on living with his family, he should be understood to be killing himself. In the Vedic civilization, therefore, it is recommended that one retire from family life at the end of his 50th year and go to vana, that is forest. When he becomes expert or accustomed to forest life or retired life as a vanaprastha, he should accept sannyas. Vanam gato yad darim ashrayeta. Sannyasa means accepting unalloyed engagement in the service of the Lord. Vedic civilization therefore recommends 4 different stages of life: Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyasa. One should be very much ashamed of remaining a householder and not promoting oneself to the higher stages, namely Vanaprastha and Sannyasa. Sukadeva Goswami said, O Maharaj Parikshit, Yayati was very much attached to women. In due course of time, however, when disgusted with sexual enjoyment and its bad effects, he renounced this way of life and narrated the following story to his beloved wife. My dearly beloved wife, daughter of Shukracharya, in this world there was someone exactly like me. Please listen as I narrate the history of his life. By hearing about the life of such a householder, those who have retired from householder life always lament. Hare Krishna. So in this chapter, we are beginning with these two verses where King Yayati is disgusted. So why is disgusted? I'm sure those who are keeping track of Srimad Bhagavatam, how it started as a romance, isn't it? It was like a romance, you know, like he found Devyani in the well and she stretched her arm and he thought, well, she has to protect her. She said, well, you have now touched me, so you have to marry me, no question about caste. She was Brahmin. And then, of course, in this world, when you try to please someone, you're always displeasing someone else. And Sarmista was, several things happened. And he was enjoying in family life sense gratification. But then, with the will of Providence, he was cursed. He lost his youth. See the effects, how embarrassing and how shameful. And what did he do? Did he give up? He still had desires and he wanted to enjoy. So he said, in this old age, how will I enjoy? So imagine, he had to go and plead his sons. He was literally begging, please give me your youth, I still want to enjoy. So one of his sons, the youngest one, he agreed. He got it back, he still started enjoying. And then, after several years of enjoyment, he was still not happy. He was dissatisfied. And in that state, he is expressing his dejection. And whom is he expressing to? His own wife, but in a very entertaining mood, maybe, you know. He is giving a story about, there was a time, there was one he-goat, and there was a she-goat, and what happened. So when his wife heard this, eventually she also realized that this is our story. And she also changed. So in this verse, we see that he is dejected, or in other words, regret. I'm sure we all of us experience this type of regret in our life at different levels. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said there are several reasons why a person should get disgusted or dejected. In Srimad Bhagavatam, when Yudhishthir Maharaj is waiting for Arjuna to come back from Dwarka, he sees some, you know, inauspicious signs. He understands there is something wrong. And he sees Arjuna coming. Arjuna looks very dejected. So he's asking, why are you dejected? So several questions. Are you dejected because you could not give any charity? Are you dejected because you could not help someone? People are seeking help and you could not help. Are you because you could not protect? Is it your health? Is the health because we got disgusted? Oh, all the wrong lifestyle I lived, and see what has happened to my life. You know, I've got diabetes now and this and all this because dejected. But the most important thing for us to know that, you know, are you cheated? I'm sure every one of us are cheated in life. Taxi wallahs, sometimes they cheat us, or, you know, rickshaw wala, or in some business dealings we cheat. How you feel, you know, when you are cheated? It's a very unpleasant type of an experience, but same time, you know, some type of realization that. So in this case, of course, even Yayati is feeling that, what did I do? This is how, when we look back also, my God, so much time has, what did I do with my life? How much time did I waste? You know, what did I do? Especially Maharaj, when he gives a New Year lecture, you know, 31st night. So he'll bring up this point. He says that people are making a resolution, you know, okay, because everyone wants something new. Because you're always looking out for something new, you're tired of, you know, things and the same thing. Oh, something new. Tomorrow, nothing happens new. Everything's 1st January, everything is same. Usually people get, you know, out of their bed with all those heavy-headed because of intox, but nothing new. But then there is something new, you know, because we want something new. But in material world, there is nothing new. Everything is stereotyped. The more and more you do the same, chewing the chewed, there is no juice, there is no nectar. But still there is hope. This is how Maya is giving that false promise that no, there is hope. Go on, carry on. In the association of devotees, of course, we have knowledge to understand, no, this is not, there is no hope. It's a hopeless situation. So you will say that on that day, that devotees will be looking back the previous year, what did I do in this year? How did I use my time? Not only that, many reasons for dejection. Did I use harsh words, spoil relationship with this person? Did I disrespect that person? What foolishness I did. You know, I shouldn't have done this. Where did I trip, fall, deviated? See the power of Maya. Ashamed. Should be ashamed. Feeling guilty. Oh my God, what did I do that? So similarly, your Yayati is also feeling like this. As it is said in purport, Prabhupada says, very ashamed. And that he didn't make any progress. Yayati definitely was not an ordinary soul. He knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality and by nature he is a servant. But then the power of Maya can make you forget everything, and as it is said that you can become mad after sunset. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. Matta means mad, pramatta means intensely mad. You cannot stop, you are pulled, the senses are dragging you. I can't stop it. So this is regret, very nice. As it is said that it begins with regret. There should be regret. And then with regret we try with the help of devotees to rectify ourselves. And then there is some realization as King Yayati is realizing that how did I do this? It is said that in some other purport, Prabhupada says, very profound statement he makes, of course. He says that in family life, there is no question about happiness. When I make this statement, of course, you have to make with realizations. But then anyway, whatever you heard with that aspiration, that there is no happiness. Now, why does Prabhupada say that like that? But of course, Prabhupada also somewhere he says that husband and wife, when they live with respect to each other, they cooperate, they understand, keep Krishna in the center, then that place becomes Vaikuntha. But same time, he says there is no question about happiness. So he says, Prabhupada, that it is said that trying to be happy in a family life is like someone who is very hungry and thirsty. He is trying to quench his thirst with a drop of water. Now, how can a drop of water quench a person's trust, a person's thirst? What will be the result of that when you try? I'm sure if you have experienced. Radhesham Prabhu gives one nice analogy, related to this. He says, you are in the middle of the desert. You're very thirsty. You're just craving for that water. And then suddenly you see an helicopter coming. The big banner on the helicopter. Cool water. And the helicopter comes down. Just see your mood, what it will be to approach the helicopter. You run and then someone comes out and he comes to the bottle and you stretch your hand and he turns the bottle and there is just one drop of water. And then you put that drop of water in your mouth. What is the result? You are agitated more. The thirst was before, it is worse than that now. Even that one drop of water, better it was not there. So how do we understand this? It is said that actually we all are looking out for satisfaction within our heart, because that is what is real satisfaction, in the heart. But when we are not satisfied, we are trying to, because we don't have that proper knowledge or we are not in that position, we are trying to experience that through the mind and senses. But the nature of this world is that, you know, the degree you try, the more and more, it is always the more you want. So person who tries more and more, but when he is not getting anything, what will be the result of that? It's only frustration. So family life, as it is said, that if there is no proper knowledge and the hopes are that I have unlimited desires and this is a place where I'll get happiness, the result is only frustration and disappointment. And what to speak about to go through that path? It's a very, very difficult path. Maybe someone who is absorbed, he may not understand the difficulties, but it is said that it is like climbing a mountain. Now you have taken the decision to climb a mountain, you have to climb. So when you climb the mountain, there will be thorns and pebbles, there will be cuts and bruises, but then you still have to climb up. There is no way. So it's a very painful experience. But then when it is not fulfilled, you become angry. Of course, here Yayati has not become angry. He is ashamed, he is disgusted. But he can become angry also. And that's what happens. You have to just turn the newspaper and see that what happens in family life when a person is dejected and he becomes angry. But there is one recent story I read. It is there in that book. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu has written that book on recession. I'm sure many of you read that book. So this book says about this IIT graduate from Madras. His name is also mentioned. Karthik Rajaram. Very qualified person. Goes to US. Does his advanced course in management in a very reputed university. Makes $1.2 million in a very short time. He's in big contacts, financial ventures, some 8,000 feet, some mansion, the peak, and something happens. So this is what he was thinking, that, you know, well, this is happiness, but that's not happiness. Something collapsed and then he was completely rejected, ashamed also, because he could not see his family members, I can't provide them. But see the pain of shame, how extreme it could be, how painful it could be. Not just anger. You want to know what he did? He killed his 19-year-old son. He killed his 12-year-old son. He killed his 7-year-old son. He killed his wife. He killed his mother-in-law. And he killed himself. When we say that it's only frustration, but the degree a person is attached, to what degree can it go? But at the same time, we have in Srimad Bhagavatam, again, something similar, the story of Avanti Brahman. Now, Avanti Brahman also was a very greedy person, very proud, very miser. Because of that, his family members were disgusted with him. But he had money. Because he had money, family members were respecting him, but he will not use the money. So insensitive he was. But again, in the course of time, he lost all the money. So what happens when he loses all the money? All the family members leave him. And then he goes through so much humiliation. From what position to what? He's on the street. He becomes like a beggar. People pass urine on him. And in that state, by some providence, you know, he goes deep inside his heart and he develops some realization. And what is his realization in that state? Whom to blame? Why this has happened to me? It is very natural that immediately when something goes wrong, to whom to blame? But here, he is analyzing. Is it the laws of karma? He says, no. Is it the astronomical calculation? No. What to speak about family members? He said, no. Is it the environment? Is it the circumstances? Is it this? He says, no. These are not the reasons why I am suffering. He says, it's my mind. Now you try to understand, it is ultimately the mind. The mind is the one which makes us believe or don't believe. It makes heaven out of hell or hell out of heaven. He says it's only the mind. It's in the mind. So if the mind is not properly controlled, everything is a disaster. And if we keep hearing about, you know, what is this, you know, we talk about mind control and this and, you know, stress management and all. But real happiness is only when mind is controlled. Because even if there is a situation where you, there may be a situation where you can't respect someone or you are disgusted, you can't tolerate. But it's actually the mind which is not allowing you to do it. If the mind says, agrees, you can easily do it. The mind is the one which is stopping. So it is recommended strongly that ultimately, wherever we are, whether we are any ashram, it is purification of the mind. That is only which will lead in this direction or this direction. And purification of mind comes through empowering the intelligence. And the intelligence comes through hearing such types of kathas regularly, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, and associating with the holy name, the mind becomes pacified. In that state, a person develops qualities like forgiveness, tolerance, understanding, appreciating, humility. Very natural it becomes. It's very easy to hear. It's the mind. Yes, it is the mind. But the same mind can create havoc. So, Avanti Brahman is realizing that, my God, this is the mind, and he experiences a very peaceful in that circumstances where he has lost everything. Just imagine what a state it is. He lost everything. Anyone would have committed suicide. Maharaj in one lecture, he says that most of the alcoholics, you know, if you go back into their history, everything begins like this in their family life, which starts as, you know, maybe as some social drink, you know, you take, or it is said that you just like to carry this, you know, glass and move around so that you are accepted. Oh, I just, you know, I'm not interested, you know, I just drink. But then you experience some type of a relief to your material problems. And problems keep coming, you go and go again and again, you take shelter. But then externally, grossly, you see, feel that you have mitigated the misery. But on a subtle platform, you are getting more and more and more and more addicted. So taking shelter of alcohol and taking shelter of the alternative choice is always there. But it's not that you have to take alcohol to understand. Hearing Bhagavatam itself is enough that how we understand that material life is very miserable and where we should take shelter. So this is in short about how everything begins. Prabhupada in the purport says, yes, it is very difficult, definitely difficult. Even when we are devotees, we say, oh, now we are devotees. So we have Krishna conscious understanding principles. Now I'll marry a devotee. And when I marry a devotee, everything will be so peaceful. We will read Srimad Bhagavatam together. We'll go to Yatra together. And so many other things. But the truth is, if you're honest, why did you get married? If that understanding is there, if the marriage is based on some type of selfish interest, it is going to be an unpleasant experience. And it is very natural that as sadhakas, we are not advanced. You marry a devotee husband or marry a devotee wife, but then why there is so much problems? It is not that divorces don't happen in a devotee circle. Then how is it that? Oh, it's a very bad preaching for society. You people are Krishna conscious. Then what is happening? This is happening. The truth is, because there is no proper understanding, we are all gone far away from Vedic culture. As it is said, Vedic civilization. Modern civilization doesn't talk about, modern civilization talks about, don't worry, just separate. But Vedic civilization says, there is no way, no way. So how does it happen? No way. It is such a difficult thing that no way. When everything has been tried, and then there is some scope. Otherwise, to develop a relationship, you have to earn it. What do you mean by earn it? Means what? Earn. You have to put effort. You have to put effort means definitely you have to go against your sense gratification. So a lot of austerity. So in other words, it's definitely a difficult thing. But then there's a very interesting fact which again I heard in Maharaj's. He's saying that there was a time when the divorce rate was in 3 years it was around 70%. In US, of course, we are also catching up. I just a few years back I read in Pune it is 40%. And this is all among professionals. All are professionals. Because there may be that same reason, maybe that. Why it has become a norm now? Because that is modern civilization. We accept it. It's okay, no problem. We are separated. Then you look out for another partner. Maybe hopes, maybe this will work out. So this, in US, this rate has come down. So when this rate has come down, anyone will feel, oh my God, it means Americans have become very cultured now. Huh? It's like Vedic. Now they understood what is Vedic. They keep to their promise. The truth is, they thought that, well, anyway, if I get married, there is a chance that 70% chance. And is it easy? Divorce is not easy, isn't it? Huh? Divorce, my God, it will be such a big trauma. There is so much of depression. There is so much abuse and animosity and what things can happen. Psychologically, a person can go mad and it goes on for a long time. It is not something immediate. So if I had to go through all these things, chances are very high, I had to go through all these things. Why should we get married? Why not just stay together? Now, stay together means you can see them like family. Father, mother and children. But they are not married. They look like any family, but they are not married. Fully for one reason. That why to go through this? That means any time it can break. You have the whole freedom. That is what is freedom. Kali Yuga is saying that is freedom. But the result, of course, if you go on, then what happens to the children and what? So it's a whole purpose is just so that you can have rampant illicit sex. Kali Yuga is just promoting. The word used is cohabitation. Cohabitation means you live together, but it's not necessary that you have to make some commitments or you have to keep some vows anytime. So responsibility, as Vedic civilization says, responsibility means whatever happens, you have to work on it. You have to earn it, to strive for it. Of course, it is said that marriages are made in heaven. If marriages are made in heaven, then heaven is a very nice place. Then it should continue here also, right? Because it is already decided there. But then why the problem here then? It is, even if it is true that marriages are made in heaven, it is said that the karma runs fast, short. So what you see is, instead of all those nectar in the beginning, it is seen as blazing fire. It is a natural tendency, that human tendency. Then when, in the beginning, when we come together, we always project everything nice. Because we want to get our work done. So it is natural, everything nice comes out from both the partners. This is also nice, it's also nice. So all the nice things, they don't last for a long time. Then you have to work, you have to rise above. Because that's the nature. Everything changes, the form changes. The nature which you never knew comes out. Oh, I never thought my husband was like this. The husband thinks, I didn't know that. How is it that she has changed like this? What to speak about the form? I mean the nature, the qualities. I never knew. So when family life is based on this type of understanding, that means the foundation itself is very weak. The purpose is not known. So though everything is weak, so it turns. But Prabhupada says, no, it's a responsibility. There is no question. So, well, this is a big subject, but the theme of this today's purport is how it is said here, Prahlad Maharaj's instructions are also given, that how he is saying that a person, if he thinks that in family life, he continues, the chances are very less. Now, this is a very profound statement. In our society, we don't see, we see sannyasis, we see brahmacharis, we see grahasthas, but what is said here, vanaprasthis, we don't see vanaprasthi that, oh, this person has gone to the forest now. That is not there. So it leads little understanding that what exactly Prabhupada meant. But the essence is that in family life, it is very difficult with all these type of things. Unless, of course, it's something to be aspired for. Like Bhakti Vinod Thakur. What a balanced life. Professional, family and devotional life. See what? Everything to perfection. 10 children, right? 10 children. And professionally, on the top. Anyone who will take 2 hours for any judgment, he will be doing it in 10 minutes. Perfect there. Family life, he says, whenever I enter my house, I see as if I entered Golok Vrindavan. I mean, he's not just speaking just for, because he sees all the family members, they are engaged with Krishna in center. When Krishna is in center, the mood is always of love. So the relationship is also of love. The exchange is also of love. Everyone cares. Love, love, love. You will not like to stay in that place. It's love. It is possible, but it's something very high. It is not something... we also will keep deities at home. So many times we keep deities at home for, you know, some social prestige. Oh yes, we also have deities. But what is the use of, you know, deities means, you keep the deities, that means deities are the owners of that house and I am living in the owner's house. And who are the owner? The deities are the owner. That means you have to live according to the way they want to live. The deities are there, but then there is no understanding. Then instead of Vrindavan, it can be a place where there is daily fight. Not just ordinary fight. Very abusive fight. If not physical fight, then there can be neglect. Then can be physical abuse also. This is common. Why? Same thing. Hunger and thirst, it is not bodily hunger and thirst. It is hunger and thirst of the heart. When that satisfaction is not there and you are trying to derive that through someone else. Actually by nature, we want, or nature of the soul is to derive happiness in relationship with Krishna. But when you don't know it, you are looking out for the same happiness in these forms. Maybe family members, maybe wife or husband. But when it is not there, so there is frustration in the mind and senses. There is so much disturbance. And then that leads to. So this understanding is important so that it's not necessary that everyone has to experience that. With this knowledge, you can go ahead. So in spite of all these things, it is here said that Prabhupada is saying that family, life, there is no happiness. So Vedic civilization is giving an opportunity for a person at one stage of his life. So it is not that he just disappears. If his wife is also trained, she is a very chaste wife, she would be encouraging him. Why should I be an obstacle in your path? Now is the time. Go ahead. So very chaste. It's not that you are meant for my enjoyment. You should stay back. There are examples like this. Even in India many times, someone has tried to go to stay in a holy dham. The family members out of, no, how can you live an austere life like this? You come back and they bring him back and you should stay with us. That's what is modern civilization propagating, isn't it? You have worked so hard in your life. This is a time for you to relax. That's what is the advertisement of all life insurance. Prepare for retired life. Means now you should. And what is Vedic civilization saying? When modern civilization saying, now you should relax. And Vedic civilization is saying, now you should leave. Especially when children are grown up, they are successful, they are earning, they are giving all comforts. Grandchildren, he says, now you should leave. Why it is said like this? Because it is very difficult to take shelter of Krishna with so many distractions. The famous story about Kailash, we know it, how Narada Muni came back again and again and again and again. And what was the result? Because he didn't listen to him, he went down in the lower species of life. Imagine, from a human being, he's going down. This is a bad result of severe attachment. So Prahlad Maharaj here is saying that how it should be. This is the famous verse when he is asking, Narsa, Hiranyakashipu is asking, Prahlad, my dear son, what did you learn? And Prahlad is so fearless. Imagine, he is such a big demon, such a powerful man. He's just 5-year-old boy. But he has realized, understood, he is saying the famous verse. Tatsadumanya suravairya dehinam sada samud vigna diyam asad grahat. Hitvatma patam graham andakupam vanam gatoyad darimashrayeta. That's what Prabhupada is bringing it out in this purport. He says, oh, best of the demons, my father. He's saying, you are a fool. You have accepted thing which is not true. You accepted his body. You should go to the forest and take shelter of Krishna. This was the first thing, a 5-year-old son. So anyway, we have Prabhupada's own example, how Prabhupada himself said that, once Prabhupada said that in the temple, he said, all the women should get married and all men should remain brahmacharis. So the senior readers, Prabhupada, how is this possible? You are saying that all men should remain brahmacharis and all the women should get married. How can we do that? So Prabhupada said, that you will have to figure it out. So then sometime back, even I was, what is exactly, what does that mean, you know, what Prabhupada said? So now Prabhupada's disciple was saying that even if you are a grasa, you have to live a life where your mind and senses are controlled. Then there is some scope for having peace. So it is not that, it's not, obviously it's not possible. All women have to get married means men have to get married. But then the power of attachment is so strong. Is very interesting thing, very humorous, but with a lot of message. This we heard here, one of the ISKCON leader was speaking. In the early days, one very young sannyasi, he took sannyas, and of course, he was very fired up, you know, enthusiastic, and he was sitting in front of Prabhupada, and this was in New York, and Prabhupada looked at him and said, what do you think about the woman in New York? Oh, this sannyasi, my God, I got sannyasi and Prabhupada is asking me about, what do you think about the woman in New York? So he was completely confused. Prabhupada said, aren't they beautiful? So this guy, sannyasi was, what is Prabhupada asking? Then Prabhupada said, you see all these tall, these skyscrapers, all this economic development, you know, where the men are getting that impetus from? This is what is it. So Prabhupada is deriving that all the economic development is because of the power is that sex desire. Sex desire is so powerful that a person gets entangled. Very difficult. Very difficult. Unless a person develops higher taste in life. So that is what is propagated in all ISKCON temples and here, that we are given a chance to develop higher taste in life. Prabhupada in his own life, of course, that famous day, Prabhupada also in his life, he used to go out, come back, long, long gaps, come back. Then that final day, once we were all sitting with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, there were many counselors sitting and we were discussing about one annual function. So when should we have this in a year? It's an annual event. When should we have this? So Radhanath Maharaj, so which is auspicious? Can you find out which? Then Maharaj said, can you find out about that day when Prabhupada said tea or me? So how will we find out? I mean, only how to find out which day is or tea or me? That was the most auspicious day. If Prabhupada had not left, what would happen? Of course, Prabhupada had his own family members. He had his own family. But then he expanded his family to thousands of people. And what about thousands? It's still going on. It's going on in lakhs all over the world. Just some small family and an extended family. So that tea or me, people who may not understand first time were coming. Because the whole theme here purport is said that is the time Prabhupada decided that this is enough. When his wife, she traded Bhagavatam transcriptions for some tea biscuits. And he came back and he asked, where are those scripts? He bought that cell. His wife was attached to drinking tea. So she sold that. That is the time he decided. And he said that, he gave a choice to her. What do you want? So of course, I think she decided. What she decided? Not Prabhupada. And she thought that Prabhupada is not serious. You know, he has told in the past that I will leave the house. He will go and come back. That was a final one stroke, he said, finish. That was over. Family life over. And then he created history. He went back. And where did he go? Did he go to the forest? There is no forest. Of course he went to the forest and that was concrete jungle of New York. Right in the middle. And there he inspired what to speak about. There was no culture. There is no grahastha. There is no one. There is no culture. But he inspired young people. 23, 24 year old young people. And he inspired them to take sannyas. See from where to where. Straight to take sannyas. Such a difficult thing. And these are the people who spread Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Because of their dedication and sincerity. So this is the opportunity. How we can, wherever you are. What is that? Grahata ko, vaneta ko, sadahari puleta ko. Wherever, whichever ashram. Then it's question about how we purify our consciousness. Are we making an effort for that or are we only blaming each other? The tendency is always to blame. Blame, that is all. So it is said, it's very nice to hear, to practice. Definitely it's a big challenge. A Vaishnava always, it is my fault. I have to change. I have to correct myself. When he thinks like this, it is just a question of time when respect each other, Krishna is in the tent and there is cooperation for their ultimate object, that for the same purpose, to purify our experience that real relationship, that love, then that place can become Vaikuntha. Otherwise, it's a place where there can be daily anxiety, frustration, disappointment. So this is how many spiritualists have said, please, why you want to take to family life? There is so much problem. Don't take. But is brahmacharya life very easy? Oh my God, it's such a difficult life. Who can in Kali Yuga think about brahmacharya life? So there's a nice message in that same. He says that unless a brahmachari is fully satisfied in his heart, fully content, and is willing to live a very simple life, happy with whatever is provided, it is very difficult to be a brahmachari also. But then one life, Prabhupada said, give this one life. Don't get entangled. It's not an easy thing. Very difficult. Thorns, pebbles, bruises, bleeding, abuse. So both things are there. I am not speaking from any realization, but this is what we can aspire for. Try. Opportunity is there. And experience Krishna conscious happiness in our life. Yeah? Prabhupada said, why do we believe in Krishna? Once he said. So someone said, because Bhagavad Gita says that Krishna is the Supreme Person. Prabhupada said, no. This is because we experience that happiness. Practicing this. So there is, of course, we are happy. I am sure you all are happy. We will continue to. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Anyone, please, Prabhu, wants a comment or anything? Is Govind Prabhu there? Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hari Bol.